All right, you asked for it. We're going to do something different with the music today. Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. And if it's a Wednesday, that means we dig in to all the headlines around the world of podcasting, and we're going to discuss them and share them with you. So if you don't mind, if you're listening live on Clubhouse, please hit the share button, bottom left-hand side of the screen, and share it however Clubhouse allows you to do that. And if you're listening via podcast, please share this with a fellow podcaster. And give us less than a minute, and we'll get things rolling. What? That was quick. Good morning, podcasting morning chat. I am your host, Mark Ronick, here on stage with me so far, one of my co-hosts, Nick Nalback. And for those of you who normally genuinely give us 2 minutes before we get things rolling, you may have noticed that was a very quick intro. Well, we talked about the quick intros yesterday, and I had it on my list the day before to attempt to shorten our intro music. And then I was called out yesterday, playfully by Tristan, when we were talking about the importance of, or at least for me, the importance of keeping those intros short and sweet. He called out that the music that I play is rather long. And I've addressed that before. And I do that because I like to have the time to prep when we go live. And some might say, well, why don't you do that before you go live? Well, I can't invite people live into the room, those members of Clubhouse. That's one of the things I'm doing in the background when the music's playing, is I am pinging as many individuals in as I possibly can. And I'm also doing things like putting a link up, which I haven't had the time to do yet, sharing the link live, and making our moderators by giving them those little green badges. We'll see how it goes. I am not sold yet if I'm going to keep it going, but I am going to give it at least several days and see how it goes. Nick, was that jarring for you to really, it was like kind of in and out. We just started the music. Next thing we know, here we are. Or did you like that?
I didn't mind it. I think for what you were talking about, like giving people a chance to come in, because it's kind of slow some morning getting people in.
Yeah.
I think that buys a little bit of time, but I also get it. The show must go on.
And, you know, here's what we're going to do before we kick things off with the icebreaker, because look, this is a result of going with the short music. To Nick's point, for those that don't listen live, it usually takes a few minutes for people to shuffle in, including our co-hosts. Nick and I generally at 7, we're here. And then little by little, we start seeing people popping in live. Yep, see, another person popped in. Good morning, Jen. Anyway, what I want to do for a moment before we get into the headlines, Nick, I know you haven't shared this. I know you're traveling. I wanted to find out from you, because I know you're also at a convention, and I know it has nothing to do with podcasting, but I'm going to tie this together. So we have an event coming up, a conference, Empowered Podcasting in Charlotte at the end of June, June 28th through the 30th. And you're on the committee. So I'm curious from you, what are you seeing there that either you kind of you look at it and say, man, one day we're going to do that? Or any ideas that you think we might even be able to implement this first time around?
Yeah, when I got here, I was blown away. This event is massive. Like, it's way bigger than I thought it was.
And you're in Nashville, so, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. DR, I just sent a message in the chat. I know DR's in Nashville. Yeah, it's huge for one. and they are very well organized. Like there's probably, I mean, there's one major conference room that's technically four put together that they split up. And there's two more on that wing. There's like another five in another wing, like another seven on another floor. And like stuff is going on nonstop. But what was cool is prior to the event, you set up your schedule and you pick the events that you want to go to. And they're like scanning people in because they only have limited seats at all these different talks. So they actually scan you in and they've turned it into kind of like a game. So you can get scanned into your sessions and you get points. Mm-hmm. They have all these vendor booths. And when you visit the vendor booths and talk to the vendors, they'll scan your little card and you get points. But then they're also, they're hiding kind of like little Easter eggs throughout the entire event. And if you find them and scan with the QR code on the app, then you get points. And then the winner gets some prize at the end. So that's kind of neat, getting people involved and interacting and talking with vendors and taking part in activities around the hotel. And there's kind of a cool experience. But yeah, that said, there's so many events, like there are so many like speaking things going on that, I mean, yesterday I attended events or talks that were all about one product, and I missed out on a lot of other things that were going on. So it's tough because you have to be very picky with what you're going to do. And if it's not what you wanted, which that kind of happened to me yesterday, I spent probably a good 3 hours, if not more, learning about this one product for our company to find out that it's probably not going to work with them. So I pretty much shot that whole day in the foot.
Oh, but man.
It is what it is. It's a really cool experience. I don't know. I'm taking it all in for right now. I'll have more to report.
That app that you're using, is that by any chance called Hoova?
No, this one is, and I don't know if it's branded or if it's just the app itself, but it's called Cvent.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, they're able to send notifications through it. They have a whole map out, like plan on there. And then, yeah, they have all the sessions listed, and then you can click like add to my schedule. And it's really cool.
Yeah.
I've seen the Hoova app though. That one's pretty legit too.
Yeah. They used the Hoova app at PodFest, and Podcast Movement uses, maybe it's their own app, but similarly to what Nick was saying, yeah, you can go through the app, you can plan ahead, register for the different talks. You can communicate with the people that are at the event through DMs and that kind of thing. It's its own little social media app. I don't know that we're going to go that far with this first event. What we are going to do is we're going to provide a journal. And this journal is going to have the first couple of pages, we're going to sit with everybody, the whole group, the whole community. We're going to sit down, me and actually my friend Johnny, who's joined us before and talked about things like goal setting. He and I are going to lead. And the idea of it is for people to, before the day really kicks off, for people to sit and think about, what do I want to get out of this thing? What am I here for? Right? Like I came here, I was drawn to come to this event. And surprisingly to some of you, some people don't really think about their intentions. They don't even think about, well, what drew me to this? I'm a podcaster. This is a conference about podcasting. Okay, I'll go. And I would argue that's not enough. The more you intend on learning, the more intentions you have, or even just the clear intentions you have, you're going to get a lot more out of an event. And I haven't seen something like that done at the other podcasting events that I've been a part of, where everybody sits down together and thinks about what they want out of an event. And it'll be cool too, because like I said, it's a journal. So people will have these books. They can write in what session they attended, who the speaker was, write down a bunch of notes. etc. So they'll be able to use that and then keep that throughout their experience and beyond. So I'm looking forward to that. And thanks for sharing a little bit more, Nick, about that event. I want to ask you, do you have anything else you wanted to say?
I wanted to add one thing just because I thought this was really cool. One thing that this company did in one of their presentations, so they have a podcast, I guess for clarification purposes. It's this conference is all based around this suite of products that this accounting software has built, and all these construction companies and CEOs and owners and stuff like that are at this event to learn more about this software. And that's essentially the whole premise of the event. So it's not anything like crazy exciting, like accounting software. Woo. But the one guy in this event, what he did throughout his talk or his presentation was they have a podcast and they talk with other construction industry leaders and things like that. And he wove that into his presentation really well. Like he highlighted like certain parts that he was talking about it in his presentation. He was bringing up different podcast episodes that they had talked about a similar topic and had like a QR code where you could scan it and jump right to that episode. So throughout the entire presentation, I was like scanning a bunch of different QR codes for these podcast episodes. But then a big part of his presentation was also, because it was talking about like training, like field personnel and supervision and getting buy-in from your teams and things like that. So he actually went to specific parts in the podcast episode where they had this guest talking about that very thing. And I just thought it was a cool way to like use your podcast content as educational content elsewhere.
Right. Especially like and live on a stage like that. That's cool. What a cool idea.
Yeah. And I've never seen that before. Like, yeah, the podcast itself serves as an educational platform, but why not take that content and use it elsewhere?
Yeah.
You already created it. You already have the educational content, and not finding new ways to deliver that content, even if you're just taking it and bringing it somewhere else. Like, yeah, I just think that was really cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. I love that. I think that's such a good, that talk about repurposing content. What a creative way to do that. And I'm surprised, actually. You know, when I think about PodFest and the ones that I've been to, now I admit I haven't sat through every presentation available, but the ones I have attended and from others that I've heard, I've never heard anybody doing that. You know, and here we are podcasters and nobody's using their own podcast to present on a stage like one at PodFest. That's really cool.
Right. It's like in all the presentations that I've seen, even in the AI Summit stuff going on this week, it's like it's used as a, I just lost the word. It's basically used as social proof.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I have a podcast. Yada, yada, yada. Everyone's got a podcast. Who cares? And then that's all you ever hear about the podcast.
Right.
But throughout the presentation, you can be sprinkling it in and being like, yeah, if you want to learn more, I actually interviewed Mark and we talked about like this very topic here. So quick scan that QR code and then continue on with your presentation. Like it's such a unique way to get people digging deeper into specific aspects of the presentation, especially a lot of times you don't have a lot of time to like give a presentation. It's usually 30 minutes or less, and that can be super time restricted from what you want to give. So it allows you to kind of give people more without having to give more in the moment.
Right. Yeah. I love that. In a moment, Nick, I'm going to come to you to talk a little bit about some AI news that I believe is relevant to podcasters. And it was an event that you attended virtually last night. So I want to dig into that. And I see that Stacey Sherman has joined us on stage. And I had this earmarked for the events portion of the news today, but I'm going to skip right to it since we are light on co-hosts today. I haven't even done an icebreaker because of that, which is totally fine. Tonight at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, Pod Experience which is Stacy's newer community that she started in the New York, New Jersey area. It happens tonight, live, in person and virtually. So if you're not in the New Jersey area, then you can still attend. And the topic tonight is on enhance efficiency with AI and VAs, as in virtual assistants. And yours truly will be there in person, physically, in New Jersey. Have a flight in a few hours to head out that way. And Nick will be handling the virtual portion. He will be moderating the Zoom for those that can't attend in person. And he and I together will be answering all sorts of questions around AI, including some that Stacy has. I have a feeling a lot of those questions, Stacy, are going to end up coming from the people in the crowd, but always good to be prepared and have the extra questions. So, yeah, if you want to add anything, since this is your event, please, by all means, go for it. Good morning.
What, like, a way to start this day that I literally get to hug you in person. Like,
agreed.
Holy cow, what a different way to show up in Clubhouse today and mm-hmm. then visualize tonight. And I do hope that people here will join. It's bringing our worlds together. And that's the definition of community at its best. I wanted to ask a question because I just popped in when you were speaking. I don't know if it's relevant to what I wanted to ask or not, so please let me know. But I think it's still relevant for everybody. When you are speaking or hosting or anything and wanting to get feedback, creating a little survey, which is what I just did in Google Forms, and there's much more sophisticated ways to do that. How do you have suggestions as I want to get people's feedback after you speak and after my sponsor speaks, et cetera? So turning a survey into a QR code and then being able to show it at the right time. Is that what you were talking about before or something different?
Well, along the lines of QR codes, we were talking about Nick is at a convention that's not podcast related, and he was saying that there were some presentations that the speaker was sharing a QR code to their podcast, and they were incorporating parts of their podcast episodes into their presentation. So they're actually repurposing some of their own content to have an in-person presentation. So that's what we were talking about. But so let's get to your question for a moment. So basically, you're asking, is there a better solution than what you're doing now with Google Forms and feedback after the event?
Well, no, I just resorted to Google Forms.
Okay.
So anybody who wants feedback, obviously Google Forms is free. It's not pretty, but it's fine for now. And so how do you turn that? I have a link to turn it into a QR code. And then what's the best approach? Put that on a PowerPoint and then show it a couple times during the presentation. Like what's do you think is the best way in an event like this?
Go ahead, Nick.
I can jump in on this one. If you go into Canva, there's actually a QR code section in Canva. And like you can make it all pretty and fancy, or you can just take a generic QR code. But you just paste the link in there, and it creates the QR code for you. So you can take your Google Forms link, paste it to the QR code in Canva. And then, yeah, you could export that as an image and just put that image on the slide and just have... scan the QR code, give it feedback, scan the QR code, something simple like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. And do you have to have Google to be able to use Google Forms if the audience sees the QR code?
No, anybody should be able to fill out the form regardless if they have Google.
Right.
Fabulous. Okay. Well, we will be talking more on when you will be showing our QR code. Thank
exactly.
You.
You're welcome. And Stacy, you know, I'm sure there are best practices as far as showing that QR code and asking for the feedback. I don't know what they are, if they exist. And my personal opinion would be, at the very least, you flash it toward the end. I don't think taking multiple moments out of the hour and a half, 2 hours of the the evening is appropriate. I just think you don't want to disrupt any of the flow. What you could do is, because I know that your partner, Elizabeth, she has a screen that's going to have a rotating slides of the different speakers there and what have you. You could also include a QR code there and with big text on the screen that says, you know, leave your feedback of tonight's event and just let that rotate.
Yeah, I like that. I will do that.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Well, I it is very bizarre to think about the fact that here we all are doing our usual Monday through Friday morning chats, and then to know just in several hours, I'll be seeing you and Alex, who's just joined us on stage. I'll be seeing Alex, and I know Chris Vaglio is going to make an appearance as well, so it's going to be pretty cool to see these people.
And I see Brian here, so I bet maybe he'll be there too, so we'll
awesome.
See.
Awesome. We'll see. Yeah, it'll be very cool. And Nick, did you just send me something for today's show? Did I just see that coming through? Okay. We thought our special guest today wasn't going to be able to make it for the AI portion of the news, but it turns out that he has. So we'll get to that. But I did tease, Nick, you saw a live event, and it's AI related, for the new product called Rabbit. And I know we've talked about it maybe once here before. Share a little bit about what Rabbit is and yeah, if you want to share anything about what you experienced with that live event, it looked quite impressive, the event itself. Please feel free to share.
Yeah, I'll give a little bit. So our special guest is going to go a little bit deeper into it. But it was essentially, they called it a pickup party. So this device is like one of the first AI hardware devices. So it looks almost like a miniature version of your phone. And the idea of it is that you don't have to navigate apps on your phone. Everything can be connected together and controlled essentially with your voice. So one of the coolest examples that they shared at when they initially launched this device was it's almost like a push to talk, like walkie talkie looking thing. Like you push and hold the button and you can tell this device, hey, go create an image of, go create an image of whatever in Midjourney. And this device will actually go and you can watch it happen. Like it will go into Midjourney, type in a prompt for the image that you're asking for, generate that image in Midjourney, and then send that device back or send that image back to your device. And you don't have to be on your computer. You don't have to be on your phone. Like it just goes and does it.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
So it's like having almost like having a phone with like Siri, but on steroids.
Yeah, like it'll actually do stuff.
Right.
It just doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that, or exactly. I can't access that app.
All right, then I'm gonna stop you though, because like you said, our special guest is gonna share a little more in a few. So yeah, thank you for sharing though. It sounds really cool, and I know you're on that wait list. So we expect Nick to be at least one of the first to get this device. So we'll get some firsthand reviews from Nick whenever that comes. And I think right now they're saying sometime around July for Nick is what last you told me. So is that right?
Yeah, they said June or July, sometime in there. I'm like batch 6, and batch 1 is the one that those hit the US. So that's why they had this big party, this big pickup party, and CEO, founder was there of the company. Like it was just cool.
That's awesome. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do, gang. I'm going to dig into a few headlines and a few of the things I normally do to kick off the news officially, even though I think we've done it unofficially already. And I'm going to start with a little bit of some self-back padding. I got an email this morning from Good Pods that the Podcasting Morning Chat is number 4 in the top 100 for indie podcasts under the How To Monthly chart category, and also number 7 on the top 100 how-to monthly chart. So not specific to indie. And number 20 in the top 100 indie education monthly charts. So kudos to all of us. We are definitely growing, and I've shared a LinkedIn post, I guess last week, that shared some of the numbers that I've experienced, or we've experienced here in the Podcasting Morning Chat since we took this from only live and also made it a podcast. So check that out if you want to see that progress. I may start doing that monthly so that I can just share and be transparent about what's going on over here. And number one podcast as of yesterday on Apple is the Joe Rogan Experience, and that's the same for Spotify as well. Admittedly, don't know if there's a specific reason behind that, and I say that because generally the Joe Rogan Experience hadn't been number one. It hit number one on Apple for a while when it was finally released to all platforms. It went from being exclusive to Spotify to open to other platforms, and it held that number one spot for a little bit, but then it dropped, and now it's back. So to me, I'm just wondering, maybe there's either Mr. Rogan's either causing some controversy, as he sometimes does, or maybe there was a guest that did, or just a big guest. Maybe this had to do with some of that UFC fighting that happened a week or so ago. Who knows? Over the last week, 210,272 podcasts published at least one new episode, which is slightly up 0.3%. And some other info for you around analytics. Sports fans in the US spend more than 2 hours longer with audio content every day, according to a preview of the sports audio report from Edson Research, SiriusXM Media, and Group M. So if you got a sports podcast, when you hear us talking about keeping your episodes to 30 minutes, maybe 60 minutes, of course, with that caveat, as long as you're producing good content, go as long as you want. But that said, if you're doing a sports podcast, you may want to ignore some of the keep it short advice. Sounds like your audience wants a lot of content. And if anything, maybe, I'm not suggesting this is the case, but maybe going too short is hurting your podcast, specifically to sports. I saw another article from Pod News, or a headline that said, how many podcasts make it to 5 or more episodes? Oh, and I see we got Walt Gaynor has joined us, one of our co-hosts. So this headline said, how many podcasts make it to 5 or more episodes? I'm curious if anybody on stage wants to take a guess. And if you know the answer, don't spoil it and don't look it up. Anyone want to guess how many podcasts make it to 5 or more episodes? And you can guess in the chat too if you're listening live. Anyone going to take a stab? Come on. Alex, good morning. How many you think?
Oh, hi. no, we had a late night last night.
Oh.
We went to a book signing, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and they actually did a podcast. It was a podcast. We didn't know it was a podcast, but yeah. So anyway, I know it's a low number. I want to say 20%.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Lucy. All right. So let's see. Nick, you want to take a stab? How many podcasts make it to 5 or more episodes?
I missed the main part of the...
Well, that's it. That's the main part of it.
How many?
Say a number, Nick.
Yeah, just guess. How many podcasts make it to 5 or more episodes from when they launch?
Ever?
Yeah, from when they launch.
I'm gonna say 1 in 8.
Okay. Go ahead, Walt. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I know it's low. I don't know the number. I'm gonna say less than 10%. And I actually have a follow-up question for y'all after you reveal the answer.
Okay. Well, According to Podcast Index, just over 50% of them make it to 5 or more episodes. So that sounds like that might surprise the 3 people who guessed on stage. I'm curious if that's what everyone else was guessing too. Walt, what was your follow-up?
Man, I was off. I was off. I know a lot of people kind of hit that, oh man, this ain't working, or I don't know what I'm doing, or this sucks, or I can't continue to do it, like around 7 or 10 anyways. But my question actually, because I know there's a lot of people in this room who have clients who do podcasting, and I'm curious if they've had clients who've gotten started, excited for it, and then like around episode 7, it started to get a little quiet, maybe stopped hearing them as much around episode 18 or 20. So I'm curious, have y'all had situations where clients kind of hit that less than 50%?
That's a great question. Thank you, Walt. So I'll share first. My experience is they don't usually drop off. And I think that's not to toot my own horn, but I think what that speaks to is the power of accountability. Right, these people are starting, and they're not starting by themselves from scratch. They're actually in these instances, they're hiring someone like me, and they pay money, right? So there is a bigger stake for them, and they have me there to help push them as well, right? Like if they're struggling, if they're falling behind, that's part of my job, is to keep them going, keep them motivated, keep the ideas flowing, etc. What I do find, Walt, is that there are, in my experiences, I have had a handful of people hire me, pay me a decent amount of money to get started, and then they ghost me for sometimes months at a time because they are scared to get started. And it takes a lot of follow-ups to finally get them to use their hard-earned money and get this podcast going. So that's been my experience. I find that having somebody to work with keeps them going. And DR has joined us on stage, and I know DR has clients as well. DR, what's your experience?
Good morning. I was just about to echo what you said. You know, I think the people, well, to begin with, I heard a podcast recently saying that the pod fade number had lowered from 7 to 5. So I think that's where your original question came from. You know, clients hire me to get rid of the overwhelm that podcasting involves. You know, you forget the name of your spouse, kids run through the room and you say, I used to know their names. I don't know their names anymore. I've been so busy doing this. And they basically give up their life just because of this podcast. And when you first start a podcast, of course, you're not making any money. So the motivation very quickly kind of runs its path. So that's why they hire me, is to do all that back end stuff so they can have a life and a podcast at the same time. I'm going to echo what you just said, Mark, while I cheer them on, motivate them on, let them know that this is in for the long game, the money doesn't start happening right away. I have to keep reminding them of that. And yeah, I got to say that as long as, you know, your job as someone who has clients in this is to do exactly that, take the overwhelm off so they can continue with they have a romanticized vision of what a podcast is all about. All they see in their head is them on a mic in a darkened room, you know, spilling out their gut. And once they start getting into it, oh, the equipment and the marketing and the blah, blah, blah. So if I could separate them as much as possible from that back end stuff and just try and retain that romanticized vision that they had, where you just get on the mic and talk, then I'm doing my job.
Yeah, thank you for adding that. I wasn't even thinking about that when I was formulating my answer. The fact that when you hire somebody to help you with the production, I think that increases your chances to keep going, to your point, because it's a lot of work. And for a lot of people, they don't know how to do the editing, right? And then they have to learn that, and it gets messy until they practice, practice, practice.
And then
practice.
They have to learn Canva, and then they have to learn AI, and then they have to learn about the videos, and then they have to, I mean, it goes on and on and on. There's just so much having to do with podcasting. And the further, the more they have to learn about stuff that doesn't include them talking on the mic, the less beautiful it is for them.
Yeah, right. I see Amanda Yoa has joined us on stage and wants to chime in. Go for it, Amanda.
Hey, good morning. I was just going to echo what everybody was saying. You know, it's really important. I think the most, and I say this often, the most foolish advice that you can give somebody is to just start when they're thinking about doing it. Just start, just do it, because you're setting them up for failure. You know, with podcasting, whether it's a hobby or something that you want to, you know, grow into something more, there's going to be an investment that needs to be made, whether it's your time, whether it's a financial investment into, you know, production, editing, a coach. You know, those are the things that are going to enable to foster success in that. And I think a lot of people just take the advice of just start with no, you know, okay, let me sit down and create a plan. What do I want this to look like? And then that kind of snowballs from there. When you start creating that plan, what you want it to look like, what you want to do, then you can start thinking, okay, well, I'm going to need help with this. Well, I'm going to need to invest in this. A lot of people don't do that. They just show up, buy the mic, and do the thing. And that's why after 5 episodes, they're no longer in existence. So do the thing, yes. Just start, yes. But also know that you need to create a plan, and there with that will come some sort of investment.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah. Just start. I'm with you. And just start with a plan. Yeah. Nick, did you want to add something? And then I want to go to Walt. I want to hear Walt's answer since he asked the question. Go ahead.
Amanda hit it at the back end of there. I was just going to say the only caveat to the just start as being the advice is, I know for myself, I got stuck in the planning stage for a very long time because I felt it had to be perfect and I wasn't confident in my skills. And had I not just started, I probably still wouldn't have a podcast. So there's definitely a line at a certain point. Like, yes, I think the strategy is 100% one of the most important things that you can do for your podcast. But you hit that point where, yes, you just have to start.
Thank you. And let me go to Walt. So, Walt, how about you? And by the way, I don't know if we're going to have all the time in the world right now to discuss it, but I do want to discuss this week with you your latest podcast that you're producing with none other than Kid and Play. When I saw that, my jaw, if it could have hit the ground, if it would have reached, it would have. I was definitely a fan growing up of Kid and Play. So we have to talk about that at some point, Walt, ASAP. But I want to first get your answer. In your experience, does that happen? Do people fade or do they keep going?
Yeah. And we could definitely talk about that. Technically, I'm not the producer on the show.
Okay.
I play a different role, you know, play a different instrument. It's a good instrument.
What instrument, if I may ask?
It's we could just kind of sum it up to marketing.
Okay.
And some content, but yeah, I think that instrument will evolve as we continue to play and make hits together. So for me, previously to this role I'm in, I was working with a B2B podcasting agency, and it was kind of interesting where it was people who were starting their podcast to grow their business, specifically using it like as a majority of the time they were using it as a sales tool for clients. So it's not typical, like, you know, for a lot of people who are using podcasts to grow their like consulting business, like, oh, sign up for this, come get that if you like the show, blah blah blah. They would use it to get guests on the show, and I think sometimes the problem with that with people kind of jumping in and using it as a business tool, there's a lot of expectations. So, and also a lot of like buy-in that needs to happen throughout the whole entire organization. So my experience, that kind of that drop does happen, but it's dependent on how bought in the whole organization is in the podcast. If it's just like one person on the sales team, it's a lot harder, or the whole company's behind it, then they'll be going on forever. Tons of examples, but
yeah. Thank you, Walt. Yeah, DR, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I meant to ask this while I was on stage before. You had mentioned that, Mark, I'm talking to Mark at this point.
Okay.
You had mentioned that one of your clients, it took them forever to get started.
Yes.
Do you have something in your contract? Because I'm considering this about time, you know, the time element.
Yeah. Yeah. Admittedly, I did not. And that particular client inspired me to add something to it. And I really, honestly, I didn't care. Like it actually took one in particular, this one, a year. Like, and I didn't hear from her as many times as I followed up for like 6 to 8 months.
And she wasn't like on a retainer or anything, right?
No, so she wasn't.
You weren't getting paid.
Well, I did get paid something up front and she disappeared. So yes, I added something in my, well, yeah, but I just feel guilty just sitting on somebody's money. So that's why I just keep following up. And that's why I made it a year long moving forward. So you have 1 year to, until what might happen is the pricing might go up, or I may not have the time anymore to work with you and therefore I'll refund your money. But yeah, I have added some time restraints to that.
Okay. I'm thinking of that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, so now, why don't we do this? Why don't we get to some AI news, since I teased earlier that we have our special guest from the AI Brief podcast. I know Nick had to run. From the AI Brief podcast, we have Mick giving us the news. Let's see if it works.
Good podcast morning chat. Sounds like you all thought I did such a great job last week that you wanted me back again for this week's news. Can't say I didn't see that coming. But all jokes aside, I've got some fresh AI-related news that's just a few hours new. RabbitTech, one of the first companies to step into the AI hardware space, held a Rabbit R1 pickup party in New York City for their new device. At the Rabbit R1's launch event at the trendy TWA Hotel in NYC, Rabbit CEO Jesse Liu unveiled the game-changing device that aims to simplify our digital interactions. With fans cheering, Liu demonstrated the Rabbit R1's voice command feature. No more navigating complex app menus to order an Uber or DoorDash. All you have to do is just speak, and your wish is Rabbit R1's command. But that wasn't all. The device also boasts an impressive RabbitEye camera that can identify and describe objects, alongside audio summarizing capabilities. Liu went on to highlight some key features: a travel case that doubles as a kickstand, shake gestures for accessing settings, and a virtual keyboard for easy typing. Additionally, the device can digitalize handwritten notes and upload them as digital files. The Rabbit R1 also supports playing music through Spotify and can even order food, though currently limited to DoorDash. However, it was the tease of a potential wearable and new accessories like a crossbody bag designed specifically for the R1 that added an extra layer of anticipation among the tech-savvy crowd. Despite a lengthy presentation, the audience left buzzing about the potential of this innovative device aiming to streamline everyday tasks using AI. That's all, guys. Thanks for having me again. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, Mick. All of a sudden, at the end, he got a little more animated. He was very monotone. And then his goodbye had a lot more energy behind it. And I don't know if anybody caught it, but one of the things that cracks me up about AI-generated voices, at least from places like 11 Labs, you hear them taking their breaths. I don't know if anyone caught that, but go back and listen and you'll hear he actually takes breaths as he's speaking, which is kind of freaky to me. So there's your AI news for you. Thanks to Nick Nalback for lending us Mick, the host of the AI Brief, which you can find on Spotify and I believe other platforms as well. So check that out. I want to see what kind of headlines here I want to go to. So, okay. Oh, I didn't finish giving you the events that are happening in the next, say, 1 to 2 months. There is, if you are in the Houston area, there's a Houston Podcasters Meet Up. And actually, Walt, that's with Rena from Better Call Daddy and Riverside. I call out Walt because Walt introduced me and us to Rena and the Better Call Daddy podcast. So that's happening in Houston, May 6th. If you're interested, I will include a link in the show notes. And then there's also a Charlotte Podcasters Meetup, May 15th in Charlotte, North Carolina at Brewers, 4001 Yancey. That's hosted by Riverside and us, Empowered Podcasting, the conference. So we're heading there early, a month and a half early, to start connecting with more people in Charlotte and see if we can get them to come join the big show that weekend, which, by the way, is June 28th through the 30th. You can get your tickets now, book your hotel now with a discount by going to empoweredpodcasting.com. So those are some events coming up. I'm sure there are others. You can check out more at Pod News. They have an events page that you can keep up with, and it goes at least through a year or so. So check that out. And let's see what I got for you here. Some quick hits. Audiobooks are a hit for Spotify. 25% of Spotify premium users in the US, UK, and Australia have engaged with their new audiobooks feature. In the US, new audiobook listeners are spending 2.5 hours longer in the Spotify app in the 14 days or so that it broke on the app. By broke, I mean released. And cross-promoting a RuPaul book from an appearance by RuPaul on Call Her Daddy led to a 34% increase in consumption. Makes you think about audiobooks now, right? Anna Larson, she's a community member and participates often in the Facebook group. She pointed out, this reminded me that she pointed out, she's noticed lately, if you're on Amazon, there are some book pages that you land on that you might find suggested podcast listening. So, for example, I think she showed us a screenshot of Mel Robbins, and she was on Mel Robbins' book page, and there was a recommendation to listen to Mel Robbins' podcast. And Anna says she's seen this from others. She hasn't seen this on every book page on Amazon, but looks like that's a thing. And really interesting when I think about how many podcasters are also authors and how cool it would be to be able to cross-promote both platforms, both mediums. And for you microphone geeks out there, a brand new microphone came out recently. The Luit Audio Ray has launched with a laser. So the microphone has what it calls autofocus for sound, tuning the voice depending on how close or how far the person is from the microphone. So it's using laser technology to hone in on your voice. And also, it sounds like does a little bit of enhancement to it as well. So if you're a mic geek, you can check that out. Again, I will put links in the show notes. Also, Google appears to have set a date for Google Podcasts to finally be officially switched off in countries outside of the US. I say finally because it's been talked about for a while now. A support document has been updated to say users outside of the United States will be able to use Google Podcasts until mid to late June of 2024. And I saw this article recently about that. Alex, did you want to chime in?
I just wanted to know, did you air quotes when you use laser?
Laser, yeah.
Exactly. Sorry, I just that's all I was thinking about was laser. All right.
Yeah, well, probably because I paused it too. It just, yeah, it'll make you think about that movie. I saw this article, and now I can't find it related to that. But you know what? I'm going to jump then. I'll make it related to that because Google owns YouTube. And YouTube, there's been an article by Android Police that's called YouTube Sucks for Podcasts. So I this caught my eye because we've been talking about just recently whether you feel like it's time to move into video with your podcast and you want to start using YouTube, or we've also had those conversations of getting your audio version of your podcast on YouTube using their new RSS feature. That's just like how you would submit on Apple. Now you can do that on YouTube. And that's what they are referring to. They are saying that the audio addition of your podcast to the video platform of YouTube is no bueno. And let's see here. I'll read you some of the bullet points I've got here. YouTube Music emphasizes video podcasts, which clashes with audio-focused podcast listeners, according to this article. The platform's design leads to a suboptimal user experience for podcast enthusiasts due to a difficult navigation and discovery. I kind of agree with that. It's not easy to find somebody's podcast if you're exploring YouTube or even exploring their channel. It's gotten a little better. I know there's a little tab that says podcasts, but it's not that noticeable, and you got to know where to look. So my question to the group here, let's just say for argument's sake, whether you agree with this or not, let's just agree with it for the time being. Let's say, yes, it sucks to put your audio podcast on YouTube. You're not going to be discovered a lot. It clashes with the platform of video, whatever other reasons. So what's the harm in adding the audio podcast anyway? Is that a problem? Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
You know, I know a lot of people that just have a static picture, and I may do that for podcasts that I just haven't had a chance to edit the video, because people are looking for certain content. And I know in the kids space, which I kind of live with the one podcast, kids search stuff all the time. And on the other space where it talks about a show, you know, where we're commenting on a show, people are constantly Googling. Now, are people going to click and stay on it? Maybe, maybe not. But if you have a built-in audience for that love of that show, they may listen. I don't know if that works for everything, but I can tell you this. I would listen to an hour or two. You were talking about sports. I would listen to an hour sports podcast on YouTube if I'm just putzing around at home. So maybe I'm the exception, you know, if it's relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. And Simona, good morning. Welcome to the stage. Did you want to add to this?
Yes, I would love to. Good morning. I finally woke up early enough to come and join you all.
Are you still on West Coast time? Are you on West Coast?
North, south, east, west. Yep, yeah. I am.
Wow. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Thanks for having me. No, I'm just kidding. So this is a really interesting topic and thought, because I think that, oh, hold on. Okay. Sorry. Okay. So I think that, I have an alarm that's about to go off. Sorry, one sec. I'm really sorry. Okay. So this is really interesting. So I have a client who has a YouTube channel, and when we were first building the channel, it was audio only, like videos with a cover on them. And her podcast is in the parenting space, and the topics were really niched down enough that it's things that people were searching for. So I think it also comes down to YouTube user behavior and the kind of stuff that people are actually looking for. So it was actually really interesting. Her channel grew from I want to say it was maybe 200 or maybe 150 subscribers to over 900 and it wasn't a fast growth, but it still grew. And her videos got a lot of views. Like some of them had like, you know, a couple hundred on each video. But I would say putting it on there, we did it manually. We did everything manually. So like I didn't hook it up to the hosting platform and have it automatically published to YouTube or anything like that. It was still something that I uploaded manually and tagged differently and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if that answers the question or what, but I still think that, you know, people who consume on YouTube are different than people who consume on podcast platforms.
So basically you don't see any harm in doing that, and you've seen some success from it.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's another platform to get your message out there. I think the thing with YouTube that people have to remember is that it is a different platform. So you don't have to use the exact same, you know, title that you use on your podcast apps. It can be a different title and you can test different things and your covers can look different and they should look different. And your episode notes should have different things in them as well. So it's not just it doesn't have to be the exact same thing as what you put on your audio platform.
Mm, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, it's to me, even if it does for other people, it hasn't been successful. It does suck. I just don't see why put it on there anyway. It's YouTube, for God's sakes, right? There's so many users on there. Somebody and more than one person might be able to find your podcast and it could lead into a new follower. You never know. And it doesn't, the key to this all is it doesn't take up your time to do it. It takes up your time a little bit initially to set it up, no more than it did to say set it up on Apple. And then you can set it and forget it. It'll just add new episodes, just like new episodes are added to Apple and Spotify. Why not? And Simona, I might need some help from you because I added the Podcasting Morning Chat to my YouTube channel at Mark Gronick, and I made the playlist public, but every episode within the playlist is private. And I don't know how to, I can't figure out how to change it, and it, unless I go manually into each of the 60 plus episodes we've had. So
I'm happy to help you.
Okay. Do you know, or I mean, not, don't have to explain it now, but do you know, or is that something we'll have to investigate?
I think I have an idea. I can check on my end and I think it's just a setting, but okay. I think so.
Okay, cool. And I got one more thing I want to share. And I see Brian's been waiting patiently on stage. So good morning, Brian. First, tell me, am I going to be able to meet you in person tonight? And then if you have anything you want to add, by all means, go for it. Good morning.
Good morning. So when you say in person, are you actually going to be there?
I am.
Oh, wow. All right. So even greater incentive to be there tonight. I'm going to try to get there a little earlier than 6:30 because last time I got there, the parking lot was already filled and I had to park on the side street. Mm. So
there's a good inside tip Brian's given. If you're going there, get there a little early or at least get there right at 6:30.
Yeah.
It's a popular place, Brian. What can I say?
I know, right? and I'm glad I'm feeling better too. My nose has been a little wacky the last few days, but I'm good and I'm feeling a lot better than I have the last few mornings. My midweek news is that I just reached 400 subscribers on my YouTube channel last weekend, and I'm really grateful and happy for that. I couldn't believe that now all of a sudden I've shot up quite a bit, because for a while there was a lot of stagnance, because it took me only 3 months to go from 200 to 300, but then I had been at 300 since last August, having some growth in between August and now, but it was a little slower. And I'm doing good now, and I look forward to seeing you in person tonight, Mark, and seeing you again, Stacy, and whoever else is going to be there. I'm sure Chris Baglio will be there. And until then, make it a great day.
There you go, Brian. I like it. Thank you. You might have been the first person to do it that way while I was on stage anyway. I love that. And yeah, looking forward to meeting you in person as well. All right. The one other headline I wanted to make sure to share with you before we wrap up is that Spotify for podcasters is removing the separate login. So from May 14th, you'll be required to use an actual Spotify login rather than your old Anchor or Spotify for podcasters login information. And they're saying one of the big benefits of this change, of this move, is that you'll be able to manage more than one podcast with the same login. And you'll be able to invite teams to help you manage those, which you can already do. I mean, I can already do, and maybe that's because that's how I initially signed up with Spotify for podcasters, was under my Spotify account, not a separate Anchor account. So I'm already able to add my team. I have my virtual assistants. They have access to be able to get into my Spotify for podcasters and help me should I need help uploading or making changes or what have you. That will be really handy for those of you who have multiple podcasts and have people helping you work on your podcast. So be on the lookout for that, because that's coming within a couple of weeks. And I think you can start making that change now if you want. And a housekeeping note for everybody. Tomorrow is TBD, meaning a new episode of the Podcasting Morning Chat live is TBD, because I'll be in New Jersey tonight and my flight takes off at 8:30 a.m. And there's no way I'll be able to lead the room while I'm going through security, boarding a plane, etc. And I know that Nick normally would fill in. And as we shared earlier, Nick's at an event as well, and he's not going to necessarily be able to do it. I will verify that with him. We will put the final word in our Facebook group, which is called Empowered Podcasting. So you can find that out there. As for the podcast itself, I think I will probably share an old replay from the days prior to when we turned this into a podcast. So I'll keep everyone posted, but that might be why you don't see us here in the morning. I'm going to get with the moderators once more and see if anybody is available to lead the room. If not, we're back Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern time, and then back to normal every Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Eastern time. Until then, make it a great day, everybody. Take care.